Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Before we get to our next topic, we do have a couple of tattoo suggestions for Willie on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dylan in Antioch says Willie should get a forearm tattoo of "Oh my laundry."
What is that
word? I don't think so.
Another Dylan says Willie should get a tattoo of Tony from the NCAA office staring at a phone because it's not ringing at his desk.
A stick figure of Tony?
Would he have what would Tony hair, look like? Short hair, curly
yeah.
hair.
He would look like Mike North.
Yeah. So you have a man bun. A scraggly man bun.
A disheveled man bun. And then one texter says that Willie needs a Stillman portrait tattoo.
Oh, wow.
How about a picture? How about
the iconic?
How about Jared's bar mitzvah portrait photo from his parents, from his parents' house that Derek thought was the funniest thing ever?
Because he didn't know what to do with his hands. He was just sitting there, standing there.
Oh, man. And we will talk to Jared Stillman and Company back on today at 2 o'clock. All right. So major news in the NFL. So Seth Wickersham, ESPN reporter, is writing a new book called American Kings, a biography of the quarterback. And the breaking news element of this is that quarterback Caleb Williams, of course, of the Chicago Bears, was so concerned about being picked by the Bears in 2024 that he and his family weighed circumventing the entire NFL draft, consulting with lawyers to figure out a way around the league's collective bargaining agreement while considering signing with the United Football League, according to this book. So some more of the other details in this book. Carl Williams, Caleb Williams' father, went to great lengths to try to circumvent the NFL draft, Wickersham writes, wanting to give his son an opportunity to choose his future employer. The Bears had not drafted a star quarterback since the 1980s, and their recent draft selections, Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields, didn't pan out. Carl Williams was worried that with the franchise's history, stadium uncertainty, and offensive performances under then-head coach Matt Eberflus, Caleb Williams wouldn't have the organizational support to succeed. Quote, "I don't want my son playing for the Bears," Williams said to several agents in 2024.
That's, again, the lesson of the dad. It's at this stage, when your son is about to be drafted, the dad is out, should be out of the mix. But we see that we have some dads that are otherwise. I don't like that.
Listen, I didn't like it when Mannings did it. I didn't like it, and I don't like it now. Because to me, it's like, man, you know how many people want to be the number one pick in a draft? How many people that work their tail off to try to be a draft pick, period? And I get, you know, in this day and age, you know, you want to make it seem like, oh, I want to pick where the popular thing is, oh, I get to pick where I want to go and get to pick here and pick there. I get all that stuff. But there should be a level of sort of humbleness or, you know, a level of appreciation that one should get knowing that they're going to be the number one pick. You're going to be the number one pick to a bad team. That's just the way it is across the board in any sport. When you're the number one pick, you're going to a bad team. The honor is going to a bad team to make them better.
Yes.
You know, everybody wants to go to a ready-made team. Everybody. But that doesn't happen. When you're the when you're the number one pick, you're typically not going to a ready-made team unless that team just got extremely hurt during the season and they picking last. But 9 times out of 10, you're not going to a ready-made team. It's your responsibility to go to that team to make them a better team. That should be the excitement right there. Not, oh, I don't want to go to that team because, no, it's an honor. It's a privilege to get drafted. So approach it as such, like parents, approach it as such, like it's an honor, a privilege to be drafted.
The ESPN story continues, quote, looking for a way around the league CBA, Carl Williams spoke with Archie Manning, who helped Eli Manning assert a measure of control over his eventual team in 2004. He also met with labor lawyers and agents and even considered whether his son could sign with the UFL and become an unrestricted NFL free agent in 2025 to be able to pick a team. In addition to the draft process, Carl Williams vented about the rookie wage scale, which could lock his son into the team that drafted him for up to 8 years. He calculated hundreds of millions of lost market value income. Quote, "The rookie cap is just unconstitutional," Carl Williams told Wickersham, later adding that the CBA is the, quote, "worst piece of blank I've ever read." It's
well,
the
get
worst
your ass out,
history.
Get your ass and your son out of the league then. Excuse my language.
Yeah, go play in the UFL if you want.
Go play somewhere else, man. Like, the league will survive not having you. The league has been here before you and your son, and the league's going to be here after you and your son. The players, the great players that have played before your son, there's going to be great ones that play after your son, okay? So go play in the league. You didn't have to play in the NFL. You could have said, hey, listen, don't draft me. I'm not playing in the NFL, period. I'm going to the USFL. You could have done that.
Let me ask this question. Does Caleb Williams, do we believe, is this what he wanted? Is dad just working by himself? Hey, Caleb, let me tell you what's best for you. Or was Caleb going to his dad saying, dad, I don't want to play for the Bears. Okay, son, let me see what I can do.
Well, here's more of the story. After an up-and-down final season at USC, Caleb Williams was unsure of what he wanted to do as he prepared for the 2024 draft. At the NFL Combine that year, he met with Minnesota Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell. The two hit it off, and Caleb Williams began to dream of what it would be like to play for Minnesota, which I'm sure is going over swimmingly in Chicago. "I need to go to the Vikings," he told his father. "Let's do it," his father replied. But both Caleb and Carl knew that a trade to a divisional rival was extremely unlikely.
Right, you know why? Because you're not more important than everybody else in the league. You're of equal importance. I think that's what you've been saying.
He could have stayed in school. He could have stayed the next year. He could have stayed another year. And he wouldn't have went to the Chicago Bears.
Why would you put this out there now, when you are on the Bears? That, you know how fans are in every city, but in Chicago, holy cow, that is going to. Maybe that's what he wants.
It may not age well.
Maybe he thinks this is how he's going to get out of Chicago.
This was my favorite part of the story. That left one option: to publicly attack the Bears in the city of Chicago, hoping that it would make the situation untenable, similar to what Jack and John Elway had done with the Baltimore Colts in 1983.
Well, it's kind of what the Mannings did, right, with San Diego. They basically trashed San Diego and said, we're not playing there.
Deep dish sucks. I don't want to play there.
Yeah, so
the bean is stupid.
It's too cold.
Yeah, so to me, I mean, good thing you don't hear stories like this every year. Every once in a while, I guess you're going to run into a story like this. But I just think, man, listen, it's an honor and a privilege to play in any one of these leagues. Yes, you went out there and worked your tail off to put yourself in a position. But it's truly an honor and a privilege to get drafted, period, but to be drafted number one overall. And I don't understand why. I mean, I get it. A book is coming out. But I don't understand, like, my thing with, no, I don't want that. Don't put that in the story. I don't want that to be in the story in your book. I'm with this team now. I'm trying to lead this team to a Super Bowl. I don't need to be telling the fan base I didn't want to come here. How asinine is that?
How short-sighted is it?
Exactly. Like,
I mean, to think that, A, you could pull it off, which there was virtually no chance they could pull this off to begin with. And number two, not thinking of, well, if we can't pull this off and they draft us, what's that going to mean for me? Mm-hmm. But they obviously didn't care about that.
And he hadn't started winning yet. So how do you think this is going to go over if the Chicago Bears continue to be what they have been for the last decade almost?
Do you think he's going to have a press conference where he says, you know all that stuff that I said in the book and my dad said? We didn't mean any of that.
As fate would have it, the Monday Night Football schedule kicks off when the Ben Johnson-led Chicago Bears play the Minnesota Vikings.
Minnesota Vikings.
There you. And what you is going to be the
North,
talk?
Do you think Mike North knew that when he was playing the schedule? Hey, did you see this book? Did you see this book? We have to put the Vikings and the Bears on Monday Night Football. We have to.
I'm sure. I'm sure. Like, listen, this is this is going to be a distraction for Chicago. It will be, no doubt. It will be a distraction throughout camp.
We have a clip of Ben Johnson, the new Chicago Bears head coach, on the Colin Cowherd show, answering the question from Colin Cowherd about whether or not this is going to be a distraction.
How do you ensure that when there are bumps in this division, and there are bumps for him, that those fears that are now reported of, oh man, this organization and quarterback, he's had those. That's okay. Some installed by his dad, whatever. How do you ensure during the turbulence of this season, and there will be, your division's too good, there's too many good teams on the schedule, how do you ensure he doesn't lose faith and belief in your system?
Well, you talk about fears, and I don't see it quite the same way. I see this as what a great opportunity we have to do something that really has never been done. There hasn't been a 4,000-yard passer here in this franchise, and I think Caleb's going to be the first one, and one of many years, many seasons to come where he's able to accomplish that feat. So I see a chance for greatness here for him. He's been communicated that way, and he feels the same way. I don't know what's going on prior to him joining the organization, but he is very proud to be a Chicago Bear. That's what our conversations have included, and he's really excited to get to work right now and be the best version of himself for 2025. There's no question we're going to face adversity. Both we want to see growth from here to here over the course of the season. It's not going to be linear growth. It's going to be a little bit of ups and downs and stair steps along the way, but we want to see from game one to game 17 that we're getting better as a whole. And that's not just him. That's us as a team as well. So I'm excited. That's what makes coaching fun, is when the hiccups occur, when the adversity strikes, how do we respond to it? That's when you find out who you are as a man.
When the adversity that your own quarterback creates for himself strikes, there's an opportunity there. That's
anything
putting the positive
can be
spin on it.
Twisted into adversity to overcome, even if you're the one who created the adversity to begin with.
But then they go.
He wrote
to
it in
the,
his own book. Yeah, this is not some unnamed guy making up stuff. You know,
he said this is what happened prior to the draft, and now he's letting you in on it, which I don't think was the wisest decision. Especially you still being the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. And for, coach to say, well, he's going to be the first 4,000-yard passer. Who gives a damn if you're not winning games? You know, who cares if you throw for 4,000 yards if you ain't winning a game? You know, if you're not getting to the playoffs. If it seems like – so what you're saying is he's going to be happy because he's going to be throwing for a lot of yards. That's basically what you're saying. He'd be fine because he's going to be racking up the yardage. You ain't say nothing about the damn wins.
It already, you can see what a difficult position the coach is put in before they ever play a game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be the last time that comes up. So he has forced his coach to do that. And the coach said the only thing he could possibly say in that. He handled that question well. I'm sure he thought about what am I going to say? And he's going to have to continue with that all the way through.
I do wonder how Caleb Williams is going to answer these questions.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Dad. OTAs will be
I can tell you what his choice is. He could say, hey, that was my dad. That wasn't me. I mean, he's not going to put it on
his dad.
Except for the quote, apparently, where he says, I need to go to the Vikings.
Yeah, all he's going to say is, I'm in Chicago now. I'm concentrating on Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. I want to be the quarterback. That's what he's going to say. He's not going to – he's going to try to backpedal and walk as far away as he can from those comments that he made or what his father was trying to do. He's going to walk himself as far as possible from that when they ask him those questions. He's going to talk about the season, talk about how excited he is to be a Bear, but he wasn't that damn excited a year ago, 2 years ago when they drafted him.
You got to love a crazy sports parent, you know? Yeah. LeVar Ball had his moment a few years ago.
Yeah.
There's a long list of crazy sports parents out there.
I understand parents being advocates for their kids. I get it. But when your kid's a grown-ass man or a grown woman, I mean, come on. You got to put that – you got to put the advocacy to the side for a second. You know, you can't, because it doesn't affect you. It affects him. okay? That's what parents got to understand. You can't say too much to them when they're in, you know, high school or college because they're still teenagers or they're under their parent supervision. But the minute you take a grown-up job, parents, sit back, stand back a little bit, you know.
Empower your child to make their own decision
Absolutely.
At the right time.
You can be there for support.
You can be a confidant.
Exactly.
You can be, you know, the troubleshooter. You can be the person. You can give advice. But
exactly.
You can't go public and, son, okay, let's make it happen. Vikings 2025.
Exactly. It's just like, man, you're doing more harm than
let's
good.
Let's do something that nobody can really, nobody's really allowed to do. But we're going to find a way, son.
We're going to find a way. We're going to ask these lawyers to find out a way, find out how can we circumvent.
I think the NFL thought about all those things. I agree. I didn't like the Manning thing, the way they did that whole thing with the Chargers. I didn't like that at all.
Mm-mm.
We do have an update from Nick Frazier.
What's up?
About
hot dogs?
Your hot dogs. He texted in. He said, had to run some errands and was notified about food by someone as if the bat signal went off. Thank you, Willie and D-Mace, for the endorsement. If you want a number of hot dogs I could put down in 10 minutes, maybe 12 to 15-ish. In one sitting untimed, I've eaten 20. And shots fired, Skillet is not a pet. He is an investment on my well-being for nourishment. Breakfast sausage, pork butt, pork chops, yum, 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 delicious. He named the pig Skillet, and he's going to eat it.
In a skillet.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to grow attached to it by naming it.
But that's Frage, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's Frage. That's why I would pick him to eat the hot dog.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on this Caleb Williams story and how the hell he's going to save face in Chicago now, especially because he apparently wanted to go to Minnesota. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I want to touch on a Titans topic that Jake Lyman and I talked about a little bit with Teron Davenport yesterday on the TD Power Hour. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We will take it to the bank in the next segment. We'll also welcome back Jared Stillman as he returns from vacation.
Stillman Company!
Joe Rexrow did a pretty mean Jared Stillman impression the other day on Wednesday.
I thought it was pretty good.
I asked Jared if he listened to Joe and Paul do a show, and he said no, because I guess he doesn't like listening to other people in his time slot.
Well, don't miss your time slot, then.
Don't go on vacation, then.
No more vacations for Stillman.
I hope he's well-rested. I have a couple of bones to pick with Jared, which I will do when he comes on.
Oh, exciting. I can't wait to hear this.
I assume that this was the first vacation that he and his girlfriend have had since their son was born. You have to enjoy those moments because it doesn't happen very often.
Yep. The days of going on vacation.
Do you all remember your first vacation?
By yourself?
Without your little ones?
Without the little ones?
Yes.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to remember exactly when that would have been.
My honeymoon, and then, wow, yeah. I don't think we went on many trips where it was without the kids, unless it was like a quick trip to like New York or something. You know, we would do that, but you talking about a big trip? No, we didn't. The kids were there.
I don't remember a big trip early on. Like a full week
Vegas,
without
we went
the
to
kids?
Vegas twice without the kids, so I guess.
Vegas, I mean, Vegas is more family friendly than it used to be.
It wasn't family friendly then. No, you don't want to take kids. No.
My wife and I went away for like 4 or 5 nights like a year and a half ago. And when we got there, we put down our bags. We were relaxed. And then at dinner time, I was like, I miss my son. I hope he's okay.
And Laura was chilling.
And now when my wife and son go visit her parents and leave me at home, I'm like, yes!
Come sliding through.
So take the soul records. I do have those slick, concrete floors. So I would definitely slide across like Tom Cruise.
Oh, man.
But yesterday.
Risky business.
Yesterday. Robert, by the way, says 42 with two 42 with two teenagers, never had a vacation.
Yeah.
Robert, you deserve a vacation, my friend.
Yes, you do. Man, goodness.
So yesterday, Jake Lyman and I had Teron Davenport on for the TD Power Hour. And we were talking about a story that Teron wrote for ESPN.com. Titans working to make number one pick Cam Ward comfortable. And Teron writes in the story, the Titans hope to replicate the early success of recent rookie quarterbacks Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud. Tennessee is looking to follow the paths that the Houston Texans took with Stroud as a rookie in 2023, and the Commanders did with Daniels last season. Both resulted in being named Offensive Rookie of the Year while leading their teams to the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying that the Titans are going to go to the playoffs with Cam Ward, a quarterback, in his first season. But then I noticed this quote that Mike Borgonzi gave Teron exclusively. Quote, I remember watching Daniels the first few weeks, and they were running the football. I don't know if he threw it the ball downfield the whole time. There's a lot of perimeter throws, get his confidence up. They did a great job just in terms of bringing him along throughout the year. And I read a story about how the Commanders, after they drafted Jaden Daniels, one of the things that they really wanted to do was increase the amount of times they ran the ball, because the year before they drafted Jaden Daniels, when they had Sam Howell, they threw the ball more than any team in the NFL by a wide margin. So I did some number crunching. I did my little nerdy research that in the first 5 weeks of last season, the Commanders' pass play percentage was 46.5%. The remainder of the schedule, it increased to 54.5%. Jaden Daniels averaged 26.2 passing attempts per game in his first five starts, 33.5 in his 10 full games after that, because he had two games shortened by injury. So an obvious increase in the number of times that Jaden Daniels threw the ball over the course of the season. So I am wondering, Derek, if the Titans may take a similar tact with Cam Ward.
They should. In my experience with rookie quarterbacks, I think it's best the way you set them up for or at least how you try to set them up for success is surrounding them with, you know, facets of the game that are strong. I mean, either a strong defense or strong running game, because both of them takes the pressure off the quarterback having to score 21, 28, 35 points. And putting that quarterback in a position where he's not, it's almost like he's not really growing or developing. He's just throwing the football because y'all are up, I mean, y'all are down 20, 30, you know, 20 points, and now we just got to score points. And there's really no developing within that. Not the way you want it anyway. If you get you a good run game, I saw this with Joe, get you a really good run game, get you a defense, and sort of methodically allow him to develop within offense. So the first 4 weeks you bring one, depending on who you're playing, you want to be in a position where the game isn't on his shoulders.
Well, let's look at the Titans' first few games. Mm-hmm. They play at Denver in week one, arguably the best defense in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Led the NFL in sacks last season, have a defensive player of the year, the reigning defensive player of the year in the secondary, then home games against the Rams and the Colts before a three-game road trip. So how would you approach it based on the schedule that the Titans have?
I would approach it like any other head coach that's dealing with the rookie quarterback. I would approach it as if, you know, we're going to run and play good defense. We are going to give you plays that you feel comfortable with, combinations that you feel comfortable with. We're going to do that slowly and try to, you know, bring you along that way. And it may equate to wins. It may not equate to wins. But what we're trying to do is develop you as a quarterback. So we need all hands on deck, running backs, defense, you know, offensive line. We got to make sure we're doing our job to make the quarterback's job as easy as possible until he starts to truly feel comfortable. You will see that mark, if it does happen this year, you will see it where it jumps from, okay, the rookie Cam to, okay, he's learning Cam. It's going to be evident, whether it's after three games, four games. But if he's making that transition, you will see it. You saw it in Washington with Jaden Daniels. You saw it with C.J. Stroud. There comes a point in the season where if you're developing the right way and you're doing things, you start to see that jump.
based on the research I did, it looked like it happened for Jaden Daniels after 5 weeks. The first 5 weeks, it was run heavy, and then it got more pass heavy as the season progressed.
I would like to know how much that was planned out, or how much that just happened naturally. And they were a lot better than people thought they were going to be. I'd have to go back and really, because I'm skeptical that you can do that, that you can actually lay out a plan at that level and say, this is how we're going to do it. Because so many things can get in the way. Like the situation of the game can dictate some things. Injuries dictated things. You can try to do this, but your supporting cast just may not allow you to do it. You might say, hey, let's support him with a good running game. And you might think you have a good running game, but what if you're just not running the ball very well? Do you scrap everything? Like, these are the kind of things that if you have a minor league development program to put a guy through, like let's take a young pitcher who gets drafted out of college or high school. Well, let's start him at the lowest level. Let's put him against a level of competition to where he can have some success, but he can learn how to refine some of the tools. And you bring him along slowly, and there's not a real timetable. But when you're trying to sort of develop a guy at the highest level when he's at a rookie, it becomes very, very difficult. You can try all these things, and that it sounds like a really good success story that Washington had. But I would say for everyone that worked like that, there's probably 10 that the team like, yeah, we tried to do that. It didn't work at all. By the second game, we had scrapped the whole thing. You know, it's just hard to pull that off.
But, I mean, yeah.
It sounds great.
I think every organization, well, they should when it comes to recruitment. Every organization has a plan on how they want, you know, things to go. Some plans are sped up because the player just gets in there and he knows everything. And it's like, okay, we can add some more and we can keep going. And some plans sort of take a back seat, sort of take a step back. I.e. Anthony Richardson, like, yes. We're trying to go take
this thing slow,
yeah, but it's not going the way we thought it was, so let's back off a little bit more. They even went to, they just benched him, you know?
And he got hurt the year before.
Yeah. So
that scrapped whatever plan they had after 4 weeks or whatever that was against the Titans.
Exactly. So you can have a plan, and I know Borgonzi, Brian Callahan, more so Brian Callahan because he's the coach. I'm sure that coaching staff has a plan for him, and they would like either – the ability to expedite that plan because, why? He's learning so much, and we didn't think he would learn this fast. They don't want to have to step back. They took step backs with Will Levis, and it didn't work. They don't want to have to take a step back. They want to be able to do this thing methodically. And it may work, it may not, but their thing is let's not put too much on them at once. TD has already talked about it, them possibly trying to take a little bit of what the Hurricanes did and implement in the offense to make him feel comfortable. And as he started to feel comfortable, we could add more and more to his plate.
In the minor leagues, where the results don't matter as much, they don't matter more than the development, you can afford to lose some games. I will give you a hypothetical that could happen where you're, as a coach, I don't think you're thinking about, hey, well, let's make him feel comfortable.
There's
let's
Mike
think
North.
About the development.
He's all over the show today.
Yeah,
there's
Mike
North.
Mike North is on NFL Network. Oh, yeah, here he is.
Oh, man.
Don't get us started on this guy.
Or do.
But, all right, let's say you want to do all this, but you're at home against the Rams, and it's the fourth quarter. You're down by 8 points. You're like, well, let's not take too many chances. Let's call plays where we're not going down the field. If you're trying to win the game,
I mean,
you have to come out
I know,
of that.
But then those are those
or if
are,
you're down 17-0 early and you're still trying to win the game, you might have to abandon that. Or do you sit there and say, well, we just kept running the ball. We were down 17-0. We kept running the ball because we just didn't want to put Cam in a position where he had to take chances. Or no, he doesn't know the playbook. Well, I just don't think that flies.
It doesn't. When you talk about, because you, those are built into your plan. Like, we know we're going to have some games where he's going to have to throw the football a little bit more than what we may want him to. But we are going, there was two coaches that stuck to the game plan no matter what. And we saw success because of that. Steve McNair, Jeff Fisher stuck to the plan. He stuck to it. Regardless of what was going on, he stuck to the plan. And what happens? Steve McNair wins MVP. He gets into the Super Bowl. We become more of a passing team. Why? Because they took the time. Now, I get it.
It took a lot of time.
We don't have that much time anymore. I understand that. But what Baltimore did with Joe Flacco, regardless of if we were up or down, they stuck to the plan. They didn't allow him to throw it just because we were down 14 points or 7. They didn't say, okay, you can throw the ball 40 times. No. We are going to methodically find a way to get back in this game. Because like you said, it's not necessarily about wins and losses. It's about developing that quarterback. But we know we got a good enough team that even if he doesn't throw the ball 40 times, we are capable of winning. We don't, even though we're down 14, 17 points, we don't need to all of a sudden now abandon what we wanted to do. We're going to continue to run the football. We're going to continue to play great defense. It happens. You just got to be disciplined to be able to stick with it. Some coaches are. Some coaches aren't.
615-737-1025. We will wrap up the week by taking it to the bank, and we'll welcome back Jared Stillman. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game. D. Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025-1063, the game. It's time to take it to the bank with our friends at F&M Bank. Their mission is to make lives better by making banking easier. Before we welcome back Jared Stillman, we're going to quickly do our take it to the bank question of the week. Which team has the best chance to force Game 7? The Boston Celtics against the New York Knicks, the Toronto Maple Leafs against the Florida Panthers, or the Winnipeg Jets against the Dallas Stars? Willie Donick, why don't you go first?
I'm going to go with the Jets.
Which would require them to win a game on the road.
On the road.
Which they don't do.
And Connor Hellebuyck has now lost, what, nine?
I believe it's nine times. Consecutive road. Yep, nine consecutive road playoff starts.
In a row on the road. I think he's starting to come around a little bit. I think they're figuring out how to play a little better. Rantanen hasn't blown them away in the last couple of games like he did earlier in the series. I think they have a better formula. I am going to go with the Jets. I don't know if I love any of the three teams' chances. I'm really curious to see what the Maple Leafs look like after the debacle.
That's tonight.
And that is tonight. And I'll tell you what, if they go quietly, it will be the end of the era, because I think Mitch Marner will be gone. I think John Tavares will be gone. And the core four will have never really gone deep in the playoffs.
Never passed the second round.
But I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be that easy for the Panthers. On paper, it looks like it. The Panthers have got a stranglehold. And I'm going to lean that way. So I'm going to go with the Jets.
Derek?
Listening to Elliot yesterday, he convinced me that Florida was probably the best team.
The best all-around team. Agree with that. Yeah. They are really strong.
So I can't go with Toronto, the Maple Leafs. After listening to Elliot, nope, I'm not going that route. Boston, the Boston game.
See, now yesterday I asked you about this, right?
And I'm like, you're pretty strong.
You think the Knicks are going to win.
I think the Knicks are going to win it, man. Gosh, but Carl Anthony Towns got to figure out a way to become a low post player. Just shoot outside. Don't even worry about the low post. Just shoot the three pointers.
Nobody posts up anymore.
Exactly.
Anyway.
So I'm going with Winnipeg. I'm going with Winnipeg. I think Winnipeg comes back and they make this a 7-game series.
I'm going to go with the Celtics to win one more game at Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
I'm going to do it because I want to see Knicks fans squirm the way that Toronto Maple Leafs fans are squirming right now.
I think they're kind of there's a common bond there. Big
yes.
City, disappointing so many times.
So I'll pick the Celtics. I'm not going to say that they won the series, but I'll take the Celtics at Madison Square Garden. David
so
James.
We all can get points here.
Yes.
Well,
like, what about you, David?
I like chaos. I want
That's
see.
My thing, if you haven't noticed.
No, it really is. I want to see just Toronto fans just go absolutely ballistic. I think Florida can do it.
Okay. Well, Florida's down. Florida's up 3-2. So do you think
Toronto, yeah. Never mind. Then Toronto, yes.
Okay. All right. Let's see if Toronto can do it. We welcome in the well-rested, tan, I assume, Jared Stillman. Hello, Jared. How are you?
It's so good to be back on the program. Did you guys miss me?
Of course.
No.
I've got a couple of bones to pick with you, Jared Stillman.
We love you, but we
I miss you, Jared.
Give me your bones, Adam. By the way, what's the beef with Mike North? I was listening in the last segment.
You just played the song.
Oh, Mike North. I mean, I just, oh, man.
Listen to the start of the show.
I'm not mad at him, but it's just the way he explained everything. Yeah. It was just like, seriously, dude,
so I have a question for you. Well, this is more of a statement. I assume that your recently completed vacation was the first time that you and your girlfriend have been away from your infant son since he was born for any extended period of time. Is that correct?
Like both of us?
Yes.
You don't know?
Yes.
You had to think
well, she was
that.
Gone for a week in Canada, and I was gone for a week at the Super Bowl. But
he said together.
Together. It was the first time that as a couple you were apart from the little one for an extended period of time. You tweeted way too damn much on your vacation.
Let me tell you something. I think we had a great time.
It's not about
on our
that.
Vacation.
It's not about that, Stillman.
And it was funny because I had like limited Wi-Fi. And so what I would do is I would download like podcast episodes of this show and Robbie and Joe, and I would just go like sit by the pool. You know, she's like a big avid reader. She would just sit by the pool and read, and I would just sit by the pool or be in the pool, and I'd just be listening to the shows. And I'd be sitting there saying, oh my God, Chase said with Adam the other day, he said, he said, I don't know how I'm trying to put together a team. I don't know how you can leave Xavier Restrepo off of it. I'm like, I know how you can leave a backup slot receiver who doesn't play special teams and runs a 4.85. I know how you can leave him off the team.
Okay, so that
there
leads
are a lot
me
of other guys to add in.
That
there.
Leads me into my second thing, which is this tweet, which is an all-timer from you, Jared. From May 10th. Quote, why does Titans Twitter want Xavier Restrepo to be a star? You drafted two rookie wide receivers who actually run. You should be cheering for them. Restrepo can't play outside or do anything meaningful on special teams. Who cares that he's Cam Ward's buddy? Cam can get new, better ones. It reminded me of like when you go off to college and you tell your high school
need
friends.
Need to go make new friends.
Right. You tell your high school friends, yep. Oh, yeah, we'll stay in touch. Then you go meet your new friends. Then you come home for Thanksgiving and your high school friends want to get together. And you're like, I've got new friends now. I don't need you anymore.
We've grown apart.
Why can't Titans fans want Xavier Restrepo to be a productive member of the team?
Yes.
Because it's too overboard for an undrafted free agent. I mean, I heard.
But what if he's good? If he's good, he's good. If he's not, they'll cut him.
Titan fans will be devastated.
No, they won't.
They'll get over it.
You want the players to actually have talent that you drafted to be good.
I think they'll get over it. I think they would get over it.
Biggest Scarbini on the team.
Jared.
I wonder.
He will show if he's good or not.
I wonder if this team, if he doesn't, has the balls to go to Cam Ward and say, hey, we're cutting your buddy.
Absolutely.
I don't know if they do.
They will.
I do not know that.
He's not good enough.
But, I mean, Cam Ward at his press conference the other day.
Whatever.
And I don't know if anybody brought this up, or Cam Ward was like, I pushed every team that I visited with to look at Xavier Restrepo. I think he's the most underrated receiver in the draft. I heard that, and I'm like, okay, now pull out a notebook where you break down every wide receiver in the draft. You tell me, Cam says he's the most underrated wide receiver in the draft, which is factually inaccurate because Xavier Restrepo was not in the draft. But, again, you break down all the – or is it your buddy? Because you don't have the experience. Cam Ward, I'm asking you to play quarterback. I'm not asking you to be GM. And I just think that this is, to me, this is like Titan fans. They want this Hallmark meets terrible Netflix meets Nickelodeon movie to, come to fruition where Cam Ward and Xavier Restrepo, two best buddies from the first day of whatever college, whatever. It's like angels in the outfield. They want
why
that feel-good story.
Why would
and
you
I'm
want
sorry,
it?
I want good players
what
to
if he
be
turns
good.
Out to be a good – he is a – listen, had he not run a 4.8, and I know if it's a big if, but had he not run a 4.8, say if he would have run a 4.5, he would have got drafted. The guy was productive in college.
But you know that there's a massive difference between a 4.8 and a 4.5.
I get it.
You run a 4. You ran a 4.5. You were fast.
I understand.
The guys that,
that
run 4.8s are tight ends.
But Jared, when you turn on when you turn on a film,
not even fast tight ends.
When you turn on a film, does he look like a 4.8?
Okay.
No, seriously. It's a serious question.
Brian Callahan made the comment, and people were tweeting this at me the other day, about how Brian Callahan said, you know, you watch the film and it doesn't look like he would have run that time. Well, he ran that time, and you, talking about the Titans, you didn't draft him because he ran that time.
But they brought him in because he's a good football player, they feel.
That's not why they brought him in.
Why did they bring him in?
Because he's Cam's buddy.
So you think they chose to bring him in because he's Cam buddy, knowing that he ain't got no talent? Yes. If that's the case, that's what you're saying.
That, are you implying that they would keep him if he doesesn't deserve to make the team just to
I'm worried that they will.
Well, we'll have to wait for that. But
I don't know, unless Jared, Xavier Restrepo outplays Tyler
though, Jared. You have allowed Adam to get a huge victory because we have established that Adam's first ball, that you tweeted too much while you were on vacation, you've been exposed. You were tweeting, and you said people were tweeting at me. You were tweeting back. You were on vacation. Exactly. You're supposed to be getting away from that.
Somebody replied to
you're
you
supposed to be taking
on
a
that
break.
Xavier Restrepo take.
I'm allowed to do whatever I want to
say. Yes, you are.
Somebody replied
but
to
I thought you would be, you know, going into the arts, you know, doing some things, getting away from sports for a while.
Everybody else and I shouldn't say everybody else and me. This is the difference between me and people that don't love their jobs. Like I'm sitting there in Costa Rica trying to figure out, okay, if the game is on TNT, if the Maple Leafs game is, how do I get oh, thank God we have the Canadian Broadcasting Channel somehow on the TV in the hotel. So we watched the Leafs crap their pants twice while we were in Costa Rica.
I just want to point out before we leave that there is a reply to this tweet from someone who said, and I quote, "I cannot wait for the day one of the players slaps the F out of you." It has 246 likes.
No, I don't.
You know what my favorite thing about this?
I don't.
I'm like, do you think that's actually going to happen? Because I think it would have happened by now.
I don't want that to happen to Stillman. But Jared, Xavier Restrepo, regardless of, you know, what Cam said about him and in regards to, you know, vouching for him, when you put on the tape, go watch the tape. Is he or is he not a good player? Regardless of the 40 time, I understand. I'm not going to argue with the 40 time because it is damn slow. Molasses is slow. But when you turn on the tape, you can't honestly tell me that he's not a good player.
Well, can't you say that about all these
No. I'm asking about Restrepo.
He threw for 9,000 yards.
I'm asking about Restrepo. When you turn on the tape, do you think he's a good player? Had he run a 4-5, would he have been worthy enough for the Titans to draft him?
Had he run a 4-5?
Yes. Okay, then. Yes. It's the same thing.
And if he was 6-8, he didn't get drafted.
You know what he did? He didn't get drafted because
he's short.
He didn't get drafted because he's a 4'8 guy, but that doesn't mean I can't bring him to my I can't get him as an undrafted free agent and see how it works.
How is he going to make the team?
Just like everybody else make the team. Prove it.
Okay, but
go out there and make plays. They didn't think I was going to make the team as a fourth round draft pick, but you know what I did?
You were drafted in the fourth round.
Exactly. But still, I was the second.
Derek, I know the guy who drafted you. I promise you, he drafted you in the fourth round with the intention of you being on the team.
No, I get that part. What I'm saying is this. I went out there and I had to prove it that I belong in that league. Why can't Restrepo just prove it?
But
just
Derek, let him prove Do you know why you survived when they brought in Carl Pickens and Isaac Bird got the
boot? Because I was damn good. That's why.
But do you know what you did on that team? Like you, even though you weren't a starter on offense
special
at that
teams,
point.
Special teams.
Yes. He can't do that.
Well, they're going to give him a shot to do it.
A 4-8 gunner.
Hey, bro, they're going to give him a shot to do it. All I'm saying
I get to go out and try out at Gunner?
You can if they let you.
Jared.
I might run the same speed as Restrepo.
We're happy. Don't give yourself that much credit. Jared, we're happy to have you back.
Player.
We missed you. Stillman and Company coming up next.
Be love. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful weekend. Peace. Love you, Jared.